Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Welcome into a post-game edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston, and got to talk about this one. It's a lot to get into. It was pretty ugly from about the second quarter on. Grizzlies lose badly to the Hornets, and instead of just me talking about it, for the second time, I haven't done this in a while, but I've managed to wrangle my man Ron Tillery, beat writer, my colleague over at the Commercial Appeal, my former radio colleague over at Sports 56, to do a little walk and talk. We're walking through an empty FedEx Forum right now, about an hour or so after the game is over. And first of all, Ron, it's your pleasure to be joined by me, which is great. I appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure after your pleasure.
You're looking very dapper tonight, though, I must tell you. You found some great finds at the Salvation Army store. It's tremendous.
I always look Salvation Army fine.
So we got to talk about this one. It was ugly for the most part. Quite the change from what happened over in Charlotte, where the Grizzlies played their best, probably their best half of offensive basketball. That first half, they scored 69 points and looked unbeatable. This was anything but, even before Mike Conley got hurt, which we'll talk about in a second. When you saw what happened out there, I mean, it looked like a different team.
Yeah, I mean, they started out low energy, down 10, but did a good job of getting back in it. And when the game was tied at 33, now Coach David Fizdale disagrees with this, but I just thought offensively they settled. And those long three-point shots, those driving kicks for long shots didn't go down, and it affected their defense because then they got kind of lazy defensively.
Thank you.
But, I mean, everything went wrong in this one. But I think it just started out low energy and just a lack of a rhythm offensively.
You think they got screwed by the officials tonight? I mean, the free throw disparity is pretty stark. You had some technicals. I thought for sure somebody was going to get kicked out of this ball game, and somehow it didn't happen, but it wasn't for a lack of trying.
Yeah, you know, I stay away from that just because, you know, Tony Allen even said it, and I think anybody watching it saw Charlotte be the aggressor. And when you just are content with being a jump shooting team, you know, you can't expect to get a lot of calls. And so I don't think it was a badly officiated game. I just think Charlotte came in with the mindset of avenging their loss to the Grizzlies at home last week, and the Grizzlies just kind of, you know, strode on into the building. And Marcus Hall said that. He said, we just don't seem to come with the same intensity at home that we brought on the road, and they're winners of six straight on the road.
It's true. It looks weird, you know, from an effort standpoint. Now, you know, obviously we don't know specifics on Mike Conley's injury for those that want to know. You and I both have talked to folks after the game. My understanding is he had a scan here. He'll have a scan in the morning again to kind of see what the extent of the injury is. And they'll kind of go from there. So we're not going to know anything official until, you know, sometime tomorrow. But, you know, with a back and the fact that he stayed down, you know, Mike didn't stay down for much. That, it's worrisome to see that, because if they lose Mike Conley for any length of time, I mean, there is nothing behind Mike Conley.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty scary for Mike because he laid on the court for several minutes and didn't look like he was trying to get up. Now, he probably couldn't get up, you know, because we're talking about a back, and a back injury is debilitating. And so I'd be surprised if on the front end of a back-to-back you would play him in Toronto, given the challenge there with Kyle Lowry and their all-star team. So in that case, it wouldn't shock me if Mike Conley stayed home and tried to get himself together for the second part of back-to-back at home against Orlando. But as cautious as they've been with Mark and now Chandler Parsons, I think you would be doubly cautious with Mike Conley.
You can't risk Mike. And you might be tempted to take that game in Toronto as a loss anyway, just because how good they are. And you know, first part of a back-to-back and all that. You know, the Grizzlies have kind of done that anyway with some of these games. Now,
even with Mike, you're shorthanded. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you saw that tonight. I mean, I know, Ron, you love Andrew Harrison. Your love affair with Andrew Harrison is well documented. But I think, are we not seeing kind of the limits of what Andrew Harrison can do out there? Now that teams have had a chance to kind of give him a look-see, he missed, I think every one of his three-pointers was about 28 feet tonight as opposed to the normal 23, 24 feet that he was looking for. Are we seeing kind of the limits of what he can do?
Well, I think the love affair that you mentioned is relative to who would be playing instead of Andrew Harrison, and that would be an out-of-control wild rookie in Wade Baldwin. But there's no question that Harrison has kind of come down a little bit. My point earlier, or at least leaving training camp, was that he was adequate for who they had or the options that Fizdale had because he plays within himself and he guards, he's big, and he's shown some real toughness. The problem is what you're talking about. He just doesn't give you any offense. One of his calling cards was going to the basket and drawing fouls and scoring at the rim, but he doesn't even do that.
When he doesn't do that, and then there's not a whole lot left for him to give, because tonight was a classic display of missed three-pointers. He was, what, 1 of 5 from behind the arc. I don't want to shortchange the guy going forward. So does this mean now – does this kind of accelerate the Grizzlies looking around? I think if you're talking about a team that really does have those playoff aspirations, and it's still, you know, the West from basically three down is pretty wide open at this point, do they accelerate the look for something else? Because if Mike's out for any length of time, you can't have Harrison and Baldwin as your two point guards. That is the worst point guard rotation in the NBA.
Yeah, I think it would have to, particularly if Mike is unable to play for a stretch. I thought that they would always be looking around. I know Mario Chalmers' name comes up a lot because he's close to being ready if he isn't already. But the Grizzlies, and I've talked to people behind the scenes about him, believe that he'll have better options both personnel-wise and financially. So they consider him, while they would take him in a heartbeat, kind of a long shot. Now, you bring up an interesting question. If Mike is out, you're right. There's no way you can live with those two rookies. But who do you cut? Troy Williams is a rookie, but he's your insurance at the wing position, because who's to say Chandler Parsons is going to give you much of anything this season?
Troy Daniels can't play.
Well, there you go. There's your name.
Can you stretch $10 million? I mean, I know it's not a huge contract by today's standards. 3 years, $10 million. That's not that much, but you also don't want to just blow that in basically a month of terrible play.
Yeah, and that's kind of harsh to say he can't play, but here's the thing. The decision-making by the staff says he can't play. I mean, he can't get on the floor. I mean, if Fizdale says all
they got no wings and he can't get on the floor.
Right. And he only got into this game because Mike Conley went down. Otherwise, he was rotating Harrison, Troy Williams, Tony Allen, Vince Carter. And then he put Wade Baldwin in before he put in Troy Daniels. So, yeah, that would be the most likely to be cut name if you have to go and get somebody.
You do not want to cut that guy, though. I mean, that would be an admission of just an awful free agent move. I mean, and again, it's, you know, you understand the risk that you take. It's not like it's indefensible. It made sense, but I just can't believe how far he's fallen. I can't believe he can't crack this wing rotation. Troy Williams has just zoomed right by him, and they didn't have any plans to keep Troy Williams past training camp.
Right. And the only thing about the NBA, though, and I understand what you're saying as far as financially, it being an embarrassing mistake, but that's where teams make mistakes, being married to the mistakes. So, I mean, you're just going to have to suck it up and get off on them if you really need to bring a quality point guard in here.
So last thing, Ron, if you can't play Mike on Wednesday, should you send Mark on the trip either?
Well, I don't think they have a choice. I think Mark will fly the plane himself before he would.
And then we talked to him after the game, and he was adamant. I asked him point blank about that, and he said, I'm the last person to know about any of this stuff, but I want to play as much as they'll let me. But I don't know why they're playing him in the fourth quarter of this game. Like, this was not a game they were going to win. Even he had a nice 4-point play and all this. They weren't winning this game. Why is he out there? I don't get this minutes business with him one way or the other. I don't know what they're doing.
Right, one way or the other. I mean, it doesn't make sense when they sit him, and it doesn't make sense when they play him. But I get your point, though. If Mike can't go, I mean, that was going to be a nearly impossible game for the Grizzlies to win anyway. Toronto's really good. If Mike can't go, why play Mark? I mean, hold him out. Since you're on minutes restrictions anyway, this gives you a good reason to do that move. And then, you know, try to come back and beat the Magic the next night. That would make sense in the face of everything else that they've done.
You got to be able to beat the Magic at home. Magic is struggling. It's a game you should win. I know you got your morning after coming for those that are listening to the podcast this morning. That'll be up here in a few hours. If you're listening after that, then go look at it. I got a numbers game coming later on this morning / afternoon, whenever it's posted, and then you'll be flying up. Hope your passport's ready.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Now whether I'll get out of Canada, that's another story.
Been a few stories about those in the past. Hamed Adati, I think he could never quite get into Canada for a number of reasons. Hope he's doing okay. Thank you, Ron.
Always a pleasure, man. Always your pleasure.
After the game, I had a chance to talk to Mark Gasol, and I asked him first, kind of overall defensively, where he felt the problem was tonight.
Discipline. There's a lot of discipline. There's discipline to do with the job that you're supposed to do. It takes discipline to trust the guy behind you and the communication and the coverage that we have. Also a little bit of experience in some things, knowing guys' tendencies on the middle of the floor, knowing what guys want to do. But the effort was there, so you can't blame guys for the effort. I think the guys gave what they had. Now it's a matter of growing and learning and getting better at the things that we're supposed to do. And it takes discipline in a good way. Like, it takes a little discipline to do the little things that you're supposed to do. And like I said, also a little bit of experience in some areas. We'll learn. We have no other way. We got to learn. We got to learn fast. And, you know, nobody's going to relax or take it easy on us because every win matters. So it's going to be a challenge, but we're going to be fine.
With the amount of guys that you have out and
I never care one bit. I don't care. As long as I have four other guys to play with and they committed and they going to play hard and trust everything else out there, we're going to be fine.
Those defensive coverages that you talk about, I mean, some of that does need communication and chemistry. Can you develop that quickly, given what you're dealing with?
Starting tomorrow, practice when we get to Toronto, we'll get out there and start working on that chemistry. Hopefully, we're going to pick it up fast. I mean, sooner than later, and that that's going to help us a lot to grow. That builds trust. That builds, a lot of things. So the sooner the better, for sure.
Do you feel like an extra responsibility given your seniority? I mean, even with
I always feel the most responsible for anything that happens out there, the most out of anybody.
So given that, are you minutes-wise? Are you going to go full go? You got a back-to-back coming up Wednesday, Thursday.
I hope so. I mean, obviously, I'm the last guy to find out how many minutes I'll play or not, or the last guy to have any say in it. So. I'm going to be out there for however long they tell me to, and I'll give it my best.
So that was Marc Gasol talking after the game in the locker room, and you heard me ask him about the minute situation. I think let's be pragmatic here, and it was something that you heard Ron and I discussing after the game too. If Mike Conley can't play on Wednesday night in Toronto, there's no reason for Marc Gasol to play. You really have to chalk it up to a schedule loss at that point. Treat it like the game in Minnesota, go and get more, time for the young players, let them play, let them get their experience, but you just don't need to throw Marc Gasol out there and rack up more minutes on that foot in a game that you are unlikely to win, and, really what's the point of even going out there and trying that when you've got a bigger fish to fry down the line, and you hope that you can keep your powder dry. Fingers crossed that Marc is going to be good to go minutes wise. Fingers crossed that Mike is going to be healthy and ready to roll on Thursday against the Magic. That's the game that you really need to focus on. That's the one that you need to get They need to play better at home. It's nice to have that road winning streak, but they really do need to play better at home. It was something that Marc Gasol emphasized also in another portion of the interview that I did not play for you. He wants to play better at home, and this would be a good start on Thursday. But if everyone is banged up, and if you've got guys that are tired, if Mark's playing a bunch of minutes with a lot of extra responsibility, scoring and doing everything else with Mike Conley not out there, then I don't think it's a good combination. So I think the in this case, discretion is the better part of valor. If he can't go, and maybe even if Mike can, this is one of those games that would be a candidate for some reduced or completely, getting a 0 minute type game from Mark. This game would have been a candidate for that anyway, but if Mike is out, then it definitely would be a candidate for that. It really was the second quarter that did end the Grizzlies in the ball game tonight. Tonight as I tape this, but yesterday as you hear it. 31-14, the Hornets outscored the Grizzlies in that second quarter, and the Grizzlies shot 6 of 23 from the field in the second, including 1 of 10 from the bench. The only one was a Andrew Harrison 3, his only 3 of the night, but Vince Carter, Jarrell Martin, Deonte Davis combined to go 0 for 8 from the field. Grizzlies also just 2 assists in the quarter, really ground to a halt and didn't do much to stop the Hornets, who went 9 of 18 from the field, including Ramon Sessions getting 2 of 3, and it's always frustrating when Ramon Sessions beats you. Kemba Walker, too, was terrific, hit a couple threes in the quarter. He had a big night throughout the game. It was just a bad night at the office, but the second quarter really turned it. It didn't help when the Grizzlies saw Mike Conley go down. Tony Allen, after the game, said that did, in his opinion, affect some of the players and affected the way the game had gone. But the truth was, the game was already kind of edging away from the Grizzlies when that situation happened. Now, that didn't help, but that was not necessarily, in my mind, what cost them the game. They just didn't have it defensively. The connection wasn't there. It gave a lot of good looks to Charlotte, and also fouled far, far too often in this ball game. The Hornets with 11 free throws in that second quarter and throughout the game, comfortably got to the line a lot more than the Grizzlies. And David Fizdale, after the game, saying he liked his team's aggressiveness and felt like that they were aggressive enough to have gotten, more free throws. But they go 6 of 13 from the foul line tonight, the Grizzlies. You make 6 free throws. Hornets make 23. That 17-point difference is huge right there. And 18 was the discrepancy in free throw attempts. Those are all numbers that do not favor the Grizzlies, even on a night when, the Hornets turn the ball over a ton. And the Grizzlies scored a bunch of points off of them. Didn't matter because in the half court, Grizzlies really, really struggled to get anything going. Coming up tomorrow on the pod, I'm excited to welcome back my friend and yours, Kevin Leip from the Memphis Flyer. Got a very wide-ranging discussion that I put together with Kevin earlier in the week. You will hear that coming up tomorrow on the pod, as well as a little preview of the Raptors game, and also hopefully an update on Mike Conley's condition. I want to say a big thank you to everybody. Thanks to Ron Tillery for joining me earlier in the pod. Thanks to all you guys for listening and being a part of the pod. I really do appreciate it. If you want to email me, you can, peter@peteredmiston.com. Also, if you want to get involved and sponsor the show, we do a wonderful job of reaching great target audience for those of you that have businesses you're looking for between the ages of 18 and 54. We do a lot of great work there, and I'd love to talk to you about joining the pod and being part of it, because I'd love to have more partners on this pod. It would really help continue to support what I'm doing here and what you guys are listening to. So please get at me on email, peter@peteredmiston.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter @peteredmiston. And we could talk from there. But I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from anybody that wants to help sponsor the pod. We will chat with you tomorrow. Remember, you are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.